What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore you, Lord. Angels bow before you. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. What a mighty God. What a mighty God we serve. Heaven and earth adore you. Heaven and earth adore you. Angels bow before you. What a mighty God we serve. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. Walking in the light of God. Oh, walk, 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 walking in the light. Oh, walk, 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 walking in the light. Oh, walk, 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 walking in the light. Walking in the light of God. It is a great place to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. It is a great thing to serve Jesus. Walking in the light of God. Jehovah, we praise you. Jehovah, Lord, Jehovah, we praise you. We praise your name. We praise your name. Jehovah, we praise you. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. You are the mighty God, the great I am. Alleluia. Alleluia. That is why you are called Jehovah. That is why, Lord. That is why you are called Jehovah. Yes. What you say you will do, that is what you have done. That is why you are called Jehovah. Jehovah, you are the Most High. You are the Most High God, Jehovah. You are Lord. You are the Most High God. You are Almighty God. You are the Most High God, Jehovah. Jehovah, 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 you are Lord, you are the Most High God, you are mighty God. You are the Most High God. You are Lord. You are the Most High God. You are Lord. You are the Most High God. You are mighty God. You are the Elohim. You are Lord. You are the Most High God. Beloved, can we begin to give God thanks for who He is? The El Elyon, the El Shaddai, the Prince of Peace. Our great Jehovah, our great deliverer, the captain of the host, the one that is faithful and able, the one that is mighty, the one that speaks and it comes to pass, the one that watches over His word to perform it, the one who is mindful of us, our great helper, the comforter, our counselor, our God and our King, our Maker, the only one of Israel. We appreciate you, Lord. Lekwaza Zapion Doli Cruzozie. Ella Kukuzozia and Deli Cruzozia. And through no nongo, the Ilamengri da Buzozia. Mekotuata le Mengredica Custozia. Zeli Pruno nongo, the Atoll, le Gretukustozia. Meke kuata lavosa, ezo prondege kustosia, indolobosi ike kuashete, meke ke librusosia, endege kuaso, so prondege kuaso, ella ke kua, shate, endege gege lebrosate, el libru nonongrosi ike kuashete, makuaza, allo prondege kusosie, Endege kwazo zoprunda gaza. Ike kwazo zoprundege kustosia. Endo libru do bongru zazia la prino nongo ziato. Ilo prontega yakuto noblege zuate. Ilo prondega kwaza. Za ando lo prondega kwazo. Ezo zoprundege kwazo zia. Me kwashite enga kwaza zia. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Beloved, we begin to see in the last 2 days, we were looking at the requirement of God in order for us to operate in such a wisdom that is supernatural in nature, and God has helped us to see the difference between the wisdom that cometh from God and that which is earthly, that which is sensual, the wisdom of the wise that fails them, but there is a wisdom that cometh from the Lord, which is the ability for us to be able to apply ourselves to the word of God that is divinely revealed to us. And we saw that Paul begins to pray for the Ephesians. He said, from the day that I heard of your faith in the Lord, from the very day that I heard of your love for the saints, I ceased not to bow down my knee and to ask that God will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of Him. So we have come to know that wisdom is required in order to be fruitful. Beloved, and we have seen from God's word in the last 2 days that the giver of all wisdom is God, and is the embodiment of wisdom, because everything that was created by the wisdom of the Lord. But if this wisdom is easily and readily available, there would not have been a need for us to cry out for it, to desire wisdom, But beloved, it is possible for us to gain access to it, the wisdom required for us to be fruitful, the wisdom required for us to gain and not lose, the wisdom required for us to build, the wisdom of God that is innovative, the wisdom of God that has the power to enrich, that has the power to establish, the wisdom of God that is available for us to be able to increase and advance. There is a way of wisdom that you and I will be following as we become people that act on the word of God. We begin to see the wisdom of God being made manifest in our lives and delivering to us a miracle that surpasses our imagination and our expectation. So Paul says, I pray, in the book of Ephesians chapter 1 from verses 16. Ephesians 1, verse 16. Paul begins to ask said, I cease not to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give unto you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. That the God of our Lord Jesus Christ will give you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him. So wisdom is embedded in a knowledge of Christ. It is the degree of the knowledge of Christ that we have that will determine our ability to operate in wisdom. And a knowledge of Christ is embodied and embedded in his word, because the word revealed Christ to us. And Paul begins to say that the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling and what the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power towards us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power. So wisdom works when we gain wisdom through the knowledge of Christ. But because wisdom is not that it is readily available, we have to seek for it. That is why the book of James, in James chapter 5, the word of the Lord said, who among you lack wisdom? It said those who lack wisdom can ask. Those who know that they are in need of God's wisdom. Whoever lack the wisdom, the ability to know what to do, God said we can ask. James 1 verse 5. If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask. The cry for wisdom is not a one-time prayer. It is a prayer that is continually prayed, that we seek God for wisdom. He said, James didn't just start asking about wisdom. He opened up the word. He said, James, a servant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greeted. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation. How can one be in the temptation and be joyful? When one is going through the things that we are unclear about, it says, count it all joy when you fall into diverse temptation, knowing this, that the trying of your faith worketh patience. So the temptation, as we saw, we said every word of God will be tested. So it is the trying of what we said we believe. We said at the church this morning that Joseph went through it, the Lord Jesus Christ went through the test of the word, that they have received, or the dream where Joseph is concerned, because we are going to pray this morning. He said it worketh patience. It gives you the ability to be steadfast, to be enduring, to have the capacity to withstand the storm. It is a trial of faith, but it puts to test what we said we believe. Because faith is a conviction that what God has spoken to us is true. And therefore, we can take a hold of that word by the mercy of God and stand true on it and be walking faithfully based on what we know that God has spoken. He said this is our season for much fruitfulness. A season where God established the covenant of supernatural fruitfulness. But it is only happening as we abide in Him. And in the place of abiding, we have been given the word. So we can hold on to that word regardless of the situation and the circumstances, because the word has the power to prevail over that situation. And beloved, patience is the time where we endure. You still see, you have faith in the spoken word. And when the word is tried, nothing changes, because the word can never fail. So we faithfully, it takes faith to faithfully rely on the spoken word of God. Because we have to believe in order to be consistent in our trust of the word of God. So faith also means wait sometimes. Faith also means endure sometimes. It's a proof that we are able to wait on the word. Our demonstration and activities of faith also means that we are ready to go through in the now so that we can acquire what God wants to do for us in the future. and the endurance. The word of the Lord said, let the patience have a perfect work in us. When we are patient, for he that believeth does not make haste. So there is a time that we pass the test when patience has already worked through everything in our lives and we see the results of what we trust God for. When you faithfully believe in the spoken word of God and you apply yourself to it and it sets our expectation, and beloved, it is stronger in our view than the things that were around us. If the word could create everything, if God, Proverbs 24:3, by wisdom, a house is built, and by understanding it is established. And everything that God made is done by the divine wisdom of God. And I believe without a shadow of doubt that as we apply ourselves to the word, operating in godly wisdom, the supernatural power of God is made available to us to see results. But it said, but let patience have a perfect work, that you may be perfect and entire, wanting nothing. When patience have a perfect work, patience bring us to the end result, which is fruitfulness. Until we see the result, there is no giving up, because patience must have a perfect work. Perfect means he brought us to the end. We see our expectation being fulfilled. He brought us to the total end of our desire, because where he gets us is where we have the derived result, the expected result, without doubt, without anything broken, without anything missing. So my faith is only made perfected when it gives me my end result, when it brings us to our expected end, when it brings us to our desired world, when it brings into manifestation what you and I have laid hold on by the word of the living God. So James has to tell us that it is possible for wisdom of God to produce the result that is complete for us, that we are sufficient in all things and we lack nothing. So he said, patience must do a work in you. And he said, if any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God. The missing ingredient is that wisdom is the application of the word of God. And he said, if we lack it, it will be difficult to be able to step out of the word that we have received. Let him ask God that gives to all men liberally and upbraideth not, and it shall be given him. God give to everybody who ask openly. He gives liberally. He gives it with sincerity. He will expose what we ask tonight to us. without denying us of what he has promised. He doesn't find fault. He doesn't allow us to be degraded or to suffer reproach before he gives us what we ask for if we really wanted to walk in wisdom. So he gives to us without reproach, sincerely, without reproach. And he said, it's any man. And this is one of the scriptures that also have humbled me a lot of times in my life. Because he said, if any of you, regardless of our levels, regardless of our experience in God, so a 3-year-old can ask for wisdom and get it. A 74-year-old can still ask for wisdom, he will give it. But God said to us through the mouth of James, let him ask, but let him ask. God give wisdom, but let him ask in faith, without wavering. God gives without reproach. He gives sincerely. He gives liberally. So it is important that when we ask God, we ask in faith, believing in his ability to do what he has promised. So our asking is propelled by our faith without doubt. For he that wavers is like a wave of the sea, driven with the wind and tossed. For let not that man think that he shall receive anything of the Lord. So a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways, because they are unsure, because they are asking with doubts. It's not a religious practice. It is a Christ-like practice to trust God and to stay on course until we see the answer. So faith makes us to stand on the word of God by wisdom and be propelled in a place of prayer on the next line of action that we are supposed to take. And when we take it, it will deliver God's results even to us. A double-minded person, a person that wavers, cannot get anything from God. So it's either we have faith or there is doubt. And where there is doubt, there is uncertainty. Where there is doubt and a wavering mind, it is like one person living in two worlds. There is a divided attention, divided interest. There is an uncertainty in what we said. I had a testimony this evening about somebody, one of the people we've been praying for, and you've had me mention his name on this altar. I call him Brother Turu, who has a kidney transplant. And the kidney was infected and everything was all wrong. And you and I, we've been lifting that family up. But when they called me, only one word unto what the Lord gave. And that sister took a hold of that word. And she told me, even when the hospital don't know anything, they don't know what to do anymore because the infection in the kidney, in the new kidney, was not working. So you can see when she will get to the hospital and the body is already bloated. Things were all wrong in that body. And the doctors are telling you temperature was going ballistic. We know that the body was, whatever they were given to clear the infection was not working. But God gave a word that there will be an end of that which was not working because the word of God is right and it will correct whatever was wrong. Psalm 33 verse 4. And she said, Pastor, that was the word that I read to my husband. That was the word that I confessed to him. The word that you gave the very first time. They said that word, we take a hold of that word. At the time, the hospital said we cannot do anything. They stop every medication. And beloved, wherever the word of the king is, there is power. And the body begins to walk. When there was absolutely no medication given, the word of God worked in his body, and the kidney that was being infected, the new kidney that was not working, is working. And that sister got home in 5 minutes and called me and said, we just got home now. And I thought it is important for me to share this with you that the word works. But it doesn't, the word does not happen just like that. Somebody has to stand and apply themselves. It is wisdom to stand on that word of God. In the face of every trouble, she knew that the word of the Lord is right. And I said, God's word is able to correct that which was wrong in that body. And we were standing and we were praying and holding on to the word of God. And that word works. If she did not take the word, there is no wisdom is taking the word absolutely in the face of the trouble. But I have come to realize you need grace. I need grace. We need the divine grace of God in the face of the storm to apply the wisdom that works. The wisdom that gives us access into fruitfulness, because what you have seen in that body, what God's word produces, the fruits of healing in his body. God's word that was applied by wisdom produces the result that he needs to see. Undivided attention. She gave herself to the word. Even the person on the bed, when the body has retained fluid, still stood on the word of God. He said, we will share it, we will read it, and we will confess it. And God's word produced results. And that is wisdom. When we are able to apply ourselves to the word of God. And so in the next 20 minutes, you and I have known what was said. He said, if you abide in me, verse 7 of John chapter 15, if you abide in me, so we see abiding in God means to continue to have the word in focus, regardless of everything that we truth, to continue to endure, to continue to persist, to continue to dwell on that word, even when nothing looks like it. I will do you injustice if I just take us to begin to ask for grace when we don't understand why we're asking for grace. So the word must be current. The word must be constant in our thought, in our imagination, in our picture. The word of the Lord said, as far as you see, it shall be given unto you. He said, abide in me and my words abide in you. Because for the words to be abiding in us, it means that we have that word in focus. We set our gaze upon the word of the Lord. It says, stay with me, dwell with me, remain in me, continue to be present in me. How is that going to happen? It is by taking a hold of the word of God. It doesn't matter whether we're in the prison or in the palace. It doesn't matter how complex the situation is. It really does not matter, beloved, the degree of the issue that we think we need to go through in order to be fruitful. But it says, remain. Keep the word in focus. It is wisdom and act on the word of God. Faith, when we keep in the word in focus and we believe in word, in God's word, the faith that we have in God's word will lead us as we pray into the step of acting on the word of God. It said, tarry, let the word remain in you. Let the word be taken as our sincere bread. Beloved, that we engage the word with continuity. There is a level of faith. It says faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of the Lord. So there is continuity. You are in the toilet, you are on the home front, wherever you are, the word becomes your reality. Because we produce what we are full of. If you are always thinking wrong, you will always experience wrong. If you think right, and you will see right. If you see right, you will experience what is right. So it means staying on the wall. Jesus will speak in John chapter 6, verse 56. It said, he that eateth my flesh, he that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood dwelleth in me and I in him. He that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood is the one that abideth in him. And when Jesus was given the narratives of what it means to eat his flesh, it said, as the living Father has sent me, and I live by the Father, so he that eateth me, even he shall live by me. Beloved, he sent him with the word. So Jesus was living by the word. And then he was growing in wisdom, in stature. nature, in favor with God and in favor with man. And he said, this is that bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers did eat manna and are dead. He that eateth of the bread shall live forever. And I jump from that scriptures, from that verse. Beloved, even his disciples didn't get it. And when they had heard what he said, they said, this is an answer. Who can hear it? It's not about eating physical flesh, the ordinary manner, which only satisfies the appetite of man, as a level of good they can do, but he said something. He said to his disciples, does this offend you? What, and if you shall see the Son of Man ascending up where he was before? It is the spirit that quickeneth, the flesh profiteth nothing. And he now explained what was his flesh. The words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. It that eateth my flesh and drinketh my blood abideth in me, and John 6:63, it said, the words that I speak unto you, they are spirit and they are life. So partaking of the word is partaking of life. Partaking of the word is partaking of the wisdom and the power that make it fruitful. Beloved, Jesus made it clear to you and I that what we need is getting wisdom by the word. He that abided in me, so my abiding in him, he said, and my words, the words that I speak, every spoken word of God, it is wisdom to abide in it. Yes, it is a prayer line. But when I see that my issue is not that I don't know the word, but could it mean that you need to press a little bit further? Stay, abide, stay on one word. Pastor Remy taught us how it will latch on the word of God. There are people that are in my life that just give them one word. They take that word like that is the gospel. God's word, embraced by man, it is the power of making man to become what man ought to be. So when we pray, we are taking that word to him. Praying the word is an activity of wisdom. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask. So it is possible not to get result when asking, when there is no word content in what we're asking. It's not saying you shall wish. It says you shall ask what you will, and it shall be done unto you. The asking we have received the word that has become flesh unto us. And the word became flesh and dwelleth among us, and we beheld his glory. When when there is a taking hold of the word of God, that word will become flesh. That word will become a reality. That was a miracle that was on 2 feet. But the transition from the word being received and the word become a living proof that is seen by all men, it is the position of wisdom and divine grace that says, I believe in the word. So you see, faith will make your word to become flesh. Wisdom of God will cause you to pray with the word and ask. Ask, ask. The asking is to continue to ask. Because you believe. Continuity in calling upon God. Continuity in presenting our desire unto God. Continuity in requiring that the words of God that is on the inside of us that we have received become a visible manifestation in our life. It said, if you remain in me and my words abide in you, then you will ask, you shall ask what ye will, and it shall be done unto you. For here is my Father glorified. The word presents to us opportunities. Beloved, to be able to will that the word of God come to pass in our life, it activates a desire in us that will meet with the divine appointment of the God who performs his word. So there is a place of wisdom that operates through faith. The character and the attributes of faith that speaks of patience. Some people believe God now, but when there is a change in the weather, they forget about what he has spoken. Because they thought it would have happened yesterday. Because it didn't happen yesterday, it becomes a matter that they are unsure about, which is doubting. But we are going to pray this morning. Because wisdom is based on the application of ourselves to the word of God. And that's why Paul prayed that prayer and talked so much about this wisdom of God that is required. Joseph passed the test. Isaac passed the test of wisdom. Because he remained trusting on the word. It was the word, God, the word came to him. He said, remain in that land. There was famine in the land. Genesis chapter 26. There was a famine in the land besides. famine that was in the days of Abraham. There was a pattern of famine in that same place. So the word of God applied contaminate the pattern that we have known. Everybody said, if they have done their people, you have issued their records that certain people did certain things in a particular way and it didn't turn right. But when you have the word of God in your hand, it doesn't matter what the weather of condition is. God can cause your ground to be seeded and to yield for you a fruit. And that is what we are going to present to God. And the Lord appeared unto him and said, go not down into Egypt. There could be famine in Gerar. But don't you go and get help from the strange place. Do not go to Egypt. Do not go into Egypt. Do not go into Egypt. The Egypt of a place can be a better choice. The Egypt of a place could be a better opportunity. In the time that you do not have, everybody that have, they look like to anybody, they are the best choice. In the time when there is economic challenges, the best choice is for everybody to travel to a blossoming land. But in Gerar, there was famine. But what came to him was the word. In Genesis chapter number 3, from 2, God says, don't go, don't leave this place. He said, do not. Go not down into Egypt. Dwell in the land which I shall tell thee of. Again, he's talking about abide. He says, stay here. Stay in the place that I will tell you. Do not go. Dwell in the land. But if this man is already moved with what economic crisis is on, his mind would have been troubled. He would not have been able to hear God. Dwell in the land. In the midst of crisis, settle down. Settle in the land. In the midst of crisis, stay established in that land. When others are moving out of town, establish yourself there. When others are folding up and trying to try another type of business, he said to you, stay on course. When others are migrating, he says, stay in that land. When others are looking at others, the one is there in that land. Don't go elsewhere. Stay on the word. Stay on the instruction. Beloved, I'm going to talk a little bit more so that our spirits will hear it. I want you to say to the Lord, Lord, let your word resonate with my spirit man. Let your word, Lord, take over my life. Lord, endow me with great grace to remain on your word. He said, believe in the Lord your God, you shall be established. When you are planted, you will be established. He said we will be planted in the house of our God and flourish in the courts of our God. It takes planting in order to see flourishing and establishment. But beloved, it is the word that has to be planted in me in order for me to find establishment. Believe in the Lord your God. I believe in the word of God. That is God. So you are saying, my spirit man, I command you to hear ye the word of the Lord from today. Let your eyes be fixed upon the word of God. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. My spirit, hear ye the word of the Lord. God said, let my word abide. Abiding in me is abiding in my words. Staying on course. Stay focused. Stay trusting in the word and stay actively pursuing the word. That he spoke. He said, don't go down to another that looks promising. But stay where I placed you. It says, sojourn in this land. And what you are seeing, the word was instructing. It said, sojourn in this land, and I will be with you. When we stay on a God-given instruction, we have His divine presence. Divine instruction is always backed up by divine presence. It's not who is there. It's not who is in your party. It's not who is not in your party. But it means that when the God of the universe backs me up, beloved, it is a matter of time. Everybody will come and rally around you. I will bless you. And for unto thee and unto thy seed, I will give all these countries. I will bless you, give you countries. For somebody to be able to get countries, beloved, they must have something that makes them. There are men in our days that are richer than the economy of a nation. So what do you think? They can possess that nation. God said, I will give you all these countries. I will give you territories. I will give you the whole earth. And its inhabitants, which simply means that what I didn't have in my physical experience, it is the world that I'm yet to contact. Nobody gains ground unless they are grounded in the Word of God. You can only gain as much ground as the word content that you have acquired. No one can gain ground. To gain ground means to be relevant. No one can gain ground unless they have been grounded in the Word of God. The level of the physical substance is directly proportionate to the level of the substance of God's word that we have acquired. Paul can say unto Timothy, let no man despise your youth. He can say unto Timothy, that you must fan the fount of flame, the giftings that is in you that you have received through the word of prophecy. So you can also have the gifting based on the word that you receive. I will give you countries. So ask of me, and I will give the nations as an inheritance for you, the uttermost part of the earth as your possession. But before we can ask, we have to know that it was his desire to give it. And we are going to God and say, Lord, give me the nations. Give me our people. Give me our members. What must I do in order to gain the relevance? What step must I take in order to win? What is it? What is the secret that I need to know in order to gain? He said, I will give these nations, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge, my commandment, my statutes, and my laws. God was using words to express the same thing. He kept my word. He obeyed me. He didn't. Obedience means you act on the word. When God says, sit down, he said, thou shalt not commit adultery. Your obedience is that you stay out of that trouble. So it means you hear the word and you apply wisdom. You apply that word into your circumstances. Faced like a Joseph. Faced with the trouble in the house of Potiphar. He didn't just hear, he obeyed. So obedience was wisdom. He heard. Beloved, with he heard with wisdom because he was committed to pay attention to what he had, and he acted on the word. What you are not interested in, you cannot act in the direction of that word. He acted. The word of the Lord will say to us, wherever the treasure of a man is, there will your heart be also. Wherever your treasure is, your heart will be there. There will be your heart. Your heart is also where your treasure is. What you treasure becomes a treasure for you. So God, the secret of wisdom, he said, treasure my word. Matthew 6:21. For where your treasure is, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. He said, let your treasures be that which is stored up in heaven, which is the word of God. And when our heart is there, we are able to do what the word says. Beloved, so that we see that the challenge is not a lot of times that we don't know what we do, but we don't do it. We are looking for somebody else to do it on our behalf when wisdom says, get your hand dirty and get the job done. In the face of the challenge, it said, there is a way out if you will only obey and do. The doing and the obedience, because wisdom is demonstrated by the words that we do. It is by the activity of faith that proves that indeed we are wise people. Beloved, when the Bible talks about our Savior Jesus Christ, it talks about the works of wisdom, the application of knowledge that made his time, his people, the people around him to marvel. How God anointed Jesus Christ of Nazareth, going everywhere, acting out the word. Going everywhere, doing good. Healing all those who are sick of the devil. Beloved, there is an healing anointing of God over my life. He told me so. He placed his hand upon my head and he said, today, I give you healing anointing for the nations. From that experience that looks like a lifetime experience in the presence of the Lord, I woke up from that revelation of that encounter when the Lord sent me back. I would not have been here today. He took me through the nations and he If I'm to see that work, I must start now. I must begin to do with one. So even if I am on one case, and that case is still proving problematic, the word that he gave me said, I place my healing anointed over your life for the nations. Beloved, what you have to recognize is the healing does not say it's only physical problems or body problem, egg problem. Healing will bring about a reconstruction and a reconfiguration and a restoration of anything to what they were meant to be. He said, I will restore health unto you and I will heal you of your wounds. Anything that is broken down, anything that is battered, and he said for the nations, whether they have to do with economy, whether they have to do with academics, whether they have to do with marriages, he said, I have placed my healing anointing upon you for the nations. So that what has been given, what I need is the wisdom. How do I apply myself to it? How must I walk? Where are the sick folks? What are the sick situations? What are the non-aligned situations? And I begin, how must I stand? He said, do the prayer line. He said, do the church. It will say, pray for that sick folk. It will say, pray for that sick business. It will say, speak to that situation. It can give the order, but I will not know the order if I don't ask. So I am asking based on the promise that he gave me. When he talks about nations, I begin to take on jobs where there are problems. It was then I understand, because every project that I come into were problematic projects that were broken. They have invested so much money, but they never get results. And I will say to God, but why is it that I am picking up these difficult problems to solve? And then I realize, I have placed upon you healing for the nations. Healing anointing, healing grace, healing unction of anything broken, battered, or busted. Anything not conforming to the original pattern of God. Any destiny that has been neglected, that has been unrealized. Any potential that is yet to manifest. He said, I gave you the keys to bring them in alignment with my divine pattern. So even when things do not look like it, it means I know what he has told me. I know it so much as if when I say yes to Jesus. You can't talk me out of the word that is on the inside of me. Not even eating or lack of food can change that. So wisdom says, stay on the wall. It is the one that we stay on and we believe in and we obey that guarantees us of the divine presence of God in performing the task. I have placed my healing anointing over your life for the nation, even when I was sick myself. He still did not change that fact. So, beloved, my own life has to line up with the word, because I believe you cannot put an anointing for the healing of the nations over my life and then my body begins to behave funny. So I am assured I have healing anointing for the nations. He said, I will give all these countries and I will perform the oath that I swore. The covenant that I made when he said it, beloved, it didn't just happen. Let heaven hear it. Let the earth hear it. It was based on covenants. I saw how God made that covenant. So there is no yeye covenant that the devil can try on, that can work. I could not have come into covenant with the Ancient of Days. And then any negative covenant will now work against me. It is not possible. Whoever went into a covenant or a demonic agreement against me, against what God has spoken, they will be buried without escape in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. I remember clearly which is what I'm going to provoke you with. This morning, as the Holy Spirit brings this into my understanding, he said, I placed over you, it touched my head. He said, my healing anointing is over your life of the nations. And he spoke the language of covenants. The one was tested. Incidents happened like I was failing. The one was tested. The very person I shared that one with the first time called me, I told you that one is not going to come to pass. I said, nothing changes. It could look as if I failed, but I want you to know that the word never failed. God never fails. And if God never fails, it means that his word can never fail, because God's word, beloved, and him cannot fail. God's love never fails. And love is demonstrated by the word that came in the flesh. Actually, Numbers begins to say, for two unchangeable things it is impossible for God to lie. God is not man. Lie means speaking something different from the truth. Numbers 23:19. It is written, God is not a man. God is not a man that he should lie, neither the Son of Man that he should repent. As he said it, shall he not perform according to what he has spoken? And if he perform, shall he not make it good? I have have received commandment to bless, and he has blessed. I have received instruction. I have received an order. I have received a divine order to bless what he has blessed. So, beloved, what man was doing was what God had already done. And man said, I cannot change it. When God deals with covenants, beloved, he will make good his word. There is no man created of a woman, made by woman, born of a woman that cannot undo what God has done. Beloved, so nothing changes it. But the issue is not God, but me that has to wake up. When I came into the first scenario, when it comes with healing of the body, and a 34-year-old, that 33 or 34 at the time, they come into the hospital. His pastor had already rounded up and given up on him. And the guy died. I said in the following day, oh, beloved, I've asked people to go to the mortuary and bring the dead body out, because he placed healing anointing for the nations over my head. The people that claim to me that they believe. Beloved, when I say, please, I will be at the other end of the phone. Can you please just go to the mortuary and let us pray for that dead body? They say, ah, pastor, me, I can't do that, oh. I remember one pastor told me, when I sent him to the mortuary, because I was coming from China, when the Lord began to speak to me about a person, and I came into London, and they told me that the person died just like that. How can I allow that person to die? I told the pastor, go to the mortuary. That girl cannot die like that. The pastor said, they don't pack people well in the mortuary. I said, let us go there and get other people. All the people that were crying for that life, they disappeared. They were not prepared to go there. That is why you and I must lay hold on the word of God and apply it to our lives. Because there is a place that man will go with you, there is a place where you will be the only one that goes there. I stood with that 34-year-old. When I came into that place, they've already said it was over. They can now take him to mortuary. I said, God, I am healing anointing for the nations. What is going on? I press. Then the Lord gave me an understanding of covering. He said the cover over that person has given up. You don't have a covering because there are not in your church. And it was the head man over that fellow that said, well, we release him to the Lord. And beloved, that was the end of it. But, and the Lord said, that's good. You have no right over that life, because whoever you submitted yourself to, that is the authority over you. And beloved, I went back the following day. I told the wife, I said, let us ask that we see that body again after praying through the night. And they brought him out of the mortuary. And I remember the last thing that man said to me. It was a Muslim that got converted. And the boy, when he asked me, said, with the day that I die, I want to die with a smile. I was so sad the night before. I didn't know whether he was smiling or sorrowful. Just a man that went to a party and just wanted to get up from a chair and just slumped. But never know that what I said, I want to die when I've emptied myself. And the earth has known that I've been here. And I will close my eyes with a smile, because to be absent in the body is to be present with the Lord. I never knew that that's what eats that man. That was my own personal desire in God. And beloved, I get the body, hear this. And I came into the mortuary when they brought the body out in this country. And they laid that boy there. And I saw that I have seen dead people before. He was like he was sleeping, smiling. Then I had rest. Only before the funeral, they located a note that he wrote. The day he met me and I spoke to him on the train, when he said he wants to close his eyes, smiling, when his time comes. And he said, "You are that sister that I never had." Put it in that note. But beloved, that boy made me to go through to see how Islam works. Because even though he has no longer control, he was dead. He's in heaven. But family still want to do the Islamic rites. And they took the body they went to the funeral palace, and they begin to remove everything in the body of that boy, the rings and everything that he died with. And they were begging Allah to create a passageway for him to get to heaven. They were looking for the son and looking for all sorts of things. And I said to that imam, "But this boy is already with God in heaven. So nobody's going to beg for a passageway." He applied himself to the word. When that chap, even if you wrong him, when he was born again, he was radically saved. He will be the one to say, "I am sorry." Because he believed in the ministry of reconciliation and the ministry of peace. But yet we are believers. And we are saying that we are applying ourselves to the word of God. And we are holding grudges. And we are wondering why healing has not taken place. We are refusing to let go of yesterday. And we are keeping yesterday at the expense of today and the future. Wisdom says get rid of the grudges. Of the grudges in your heart. As long as it lies within us, we must maintain peace with all men, so that our life will not fall into pieces. God cannot lie. Therefore, wisdom says, walk in faith and trusting and do the deeds of wisdom. Matthew chapter 13, verse 54. And when he was coming to his own country, he taught them in their synagogue, Jesus did, in so much that they were astonished and said, "Where has this man this wisdom and this mighty works?" Wisdom is getting your hands dirty. Wisdom is saying going beyond the call of duty. Wisdom is supernatural in nature, because God backs us up when we act in faith on the word of God. The Son of God, but yet completely active, pragmatic, was not waiting for things to happen for him. He pursued the word. The word dwelling in him. Therefore, he can come to John chapter 11 and say, "Father, in the presence of this dead body, Before I can remember, I'll be calling the doctor. Doctor, please come and wake them up. But all of a sudden, the word comes. I have placed upon you healing anointing for the nations. And I rebuke that deadness, and beloved, the dead people come alive. We don't have to put it in the news in order for us to say that God has proven himself faithful. But God, who can never lie, how do we know that application of the word by wisdom will produce the God kind of result? Because the God who cannot change, for two unchangeable things, God cannot lie. Jesus said, the word that I speak to you, their spirit and their life, it gives me the certainty that my action of faith as a demonstration of the wisdom of God, applying myself to the word of God, can only deliver to me God's result, which is the word manifest. That is why the word of the Lord begins to speak to you and I. In the book of Hebrews chapter 6, for those who know how to wait on the promise, God begins to expose what it really means. He said to you and I, beloved, let us get into the word. Then our prayers, there is bank holiday in the UK tomorrow, so no hurry to get off this call. Wherever the treasure is, that is where the heart is. That is where the heart is. Numbers shows us in Numbers 23:19-20. It says, when God speaks, he makes good his word. Hebrews chapter 6 guarantees us that whatever he says can be depended on, can be relied on. It says, when God, beloved, because God spoke unto Isaac in Genesis 26, he said, your father Abraham obeyed my voice. My voice is the word that I gave to him. Abraham was noted as an obedient person. Obedience means you act on the word of God. Obedience is a demonstration of wisdom. It's an act of wisdom. Because wisdom means you apply yourself. Abraham obeyed me. He kept my charge. Abraham considered himself obliged to do the will of God. He obeyed God. He kept the charge given to him by God. Beloved, he followed through by acting. A charge, when you charge somebody to do something, you are giving them an activity to do. He kept my charge, my decree. He kept my charge. He gave heed to my words. I did something about it. My commandment he obeyed. He followed my ordinances. He followed my statutes and my law. The ordinances of God, beloved, that the statutes of God that he followed through. He did what God has appointed. Not what he had planned by himself and for himself. He followed the laws of the Lord, which gives the direction and the instruction, convenient or not. Is it convenient to leave your home to a place that you don't know about the risk? If it gets dark on the way, what about the uncertainty of what, who you will meet, how you will meet? Be there. Beloved, you can go and read Genesis 26 on your own, but I want to quickly talk us through Romans, Hebrews chapter 6. So he obeyed, and Hebrews, the author of Hebrews chapter 6, begins to speak to us, which I believe Paul wrote this scripture, as we said this morning, yesterday morning. For when God made the promise to Abraham, since there was no one greater for him to swear by, swore by himself, because God is the greatest, but yet he made a promise to a human being and he swore. He commits to it. It's not the people that goes to the registrar in the marriage registrar, and they gave a promise that they cannot keep to it. It's not in the business commitment that we make with each other and we default in what arrangement we have entered into. So we think that because man has failed a number of times, we look at God as a one that doesn't keep his word. He could not have sworn by anything greater. He swore. He made the promise with affirmation. And that is when you have anyone from God, you have to know that God is committed to that word. Beloved, God swear is the greatest. How can the great God be swearing so that the ordinary creation of his hand can believe him? But that is the degree of the persuasion, of the confidence that God has in his word to make it good to me and to you. He affirmed. When we go to the human courtroom, they will tell us, do you believe in the Bible or the Quran? Then swear with that thing. And they are expecting that everything that we say is nothing but the truth. But people don't recognize the position that they are going into. Even when they are under oath, they still default. They still manipulate things. in their own way, but God does it. Hear ye the word of the Lord. This is prayer. If you are sleeping, I'm very, very sorry for you. Because when you need this word, you have to be able to have it stirred up on the inside of you. What you take in today is wisdom for gaining, for increasing, for prospering, for profiting, for advancing. The wisdom that manifests through works. Beloved, God said to him, surely blessing, I will bless you. And multiply, I will multiply you. And so after he has patiently endured, no shortcuts. Patiently endured. God said, I am committed. And God showed his commitment by swearing. He affirmed that the promise will be made good. And not only did he do that, he said, I will bless you. I will multiply you. I will cause you to increase. I will cause you to abound. And this which I mean about fruitfulness, I will cause your life to have evidence of the promise. What has God got to say? I will make my word good. But he has to patiently endure. That is the promise. But he patiently endured for the word. Even when his barrenness was still there. He didn't lose heart. He was courageous. Beloved, he patiently endured. A promise at the age of 75 that waited until the age of 99 to be fulfilled. How many people can wait for that? And he was walking through town. There is no vehicle to carry him to a place that he doesn't know. And you and I, we have the luxurious vehicle that takes us all around. We have the GPS to tell us we have to get in. You have to ask for the destination before we go. But beloved, God has assured him in blessing, I will bless you. He has sworn an oath. So beloved, which shows that God is committed. But beloved, on the part of man, even though that ought exists, man still has to wait and get busy. And wherein, the Bible says, for men verily swear by the greater, and an oath for confirmation is to them the end of all strife. When he recognized that God has been assured as
has assured him of the promise that cannot fail, he acted in faith, applied wisdom. Because he comes to recognize the immutability of the word of God that doesn't change. So after he has waited, he obtained the promise. He obtained. He obtained the promise. He attained the height that God has desired for him. He had the result of increased multiplication, fruitfulness. In every area, in his biological body, beloved, in his substance, it became an answer that the nations needed. So healing anointing for the nations simply means that it is not just the physical ailments that get healed. Solution center. Where everything broken, battered, damaged, anything that is not according to the order of God, as the word of God has been declared, and as communication is made to the Lord, people are locating the keys to bringing a healing into their lives, into their destiny, into their marriage, into their physical body, into their career, in the mighty name of Jesus, according where things are restored back to the original configuration of God. That is what God is doing in this place, in every life that dares to take hold of the word of God and to walk in it and to walk with it. May God will him abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise. Beloved, your unalterable power. Beloved, the immutability of his word. The unchanging power of God's word, the irrevocable power of the word of the only wise God that speaks based on covenant. The irreversible power of the word of God. It showed you and I the pattern of the surety of God's word. The pattern that says he has said it, it cannot be altered. God has spoken it. He will do it. But why would Paul begin to remind us of this? So that you can see a pattern. This has helped my faith as a child of God and as a servant of God. I did not just believe because somebody told me so. I want to know whether what I believe is the truth. I went to go and check. He swore an oath. An oath is a promise to say, I will do this for you, and I promise to do it based on certain parameters. Beloved, but God issues. And Hebrews 6:18, it said, wherein God willingly and more abundant, 17, willing more abundantly to show unto the heirs of the promise the immutability of his counsel, confirm it by an oath. He made a pledge to do it. I will speak nothing except but the truth. It brings an assurance to the promise given by his word. Beloved, he back up that word as if a man goes to the bank and borrow money and said, I give my house should in case I cannot pay that money back. But the God that is greater is making a promise to a lesser person that was the handiwork of God and said, it is me that made you, I will do what I promised you. Why would we be reminded of this? The Bible said, for two immutable things, unchangeable things, untransferable things, in which it was impossible for God to lie, we might have a strong consolation who have fled for refuge to lay hold upon the hope that is before us. We have fled from the position of darkness. We have come into the light of God. So we have to know that because his counsel was confirmed by an oath, his word was confirmed by an oath, we ought to know that it was impossible for God to lie, so that we can always have a strong consolation. We can take comfort in the word of God. You and I can take solace. So even when things look ballistic, when my body was broken down and I have brain hemorrhage and they dumped me and the doctor cannot help me, I have healing anointing for the nation. But the body was breaking down and I said, take me to my home. They dumped me in that hole. And when I decided to take hold of God's word, God spoke. He said, I will fix you. Because the word maker tried what was wrong and the Lord fixed me. But until I take part in God, it is okay to be around people that are feeling sorry for me. That you, of all people, find yourself in this situation. But their sorriness has not changed my situation. Until I take solace, until I am comforted with the word, I still have it in anointing for the nations. The word become my tool for going to God, and I begin to give God thanks. As I was thanking God, the Lord spoke. He said, I will make right what was wrong in your body. I will fix you. Everything is out of joint. The brain might be hemorrhaging. My mouth might have turned to the left rather than looking straight. My nose was dead, no feeling. My eyes was funny. My refused to work. It was broken. It was not working. But the one that works, works right. What was wrong in my body? So the promise, anointing for the nation does not exempt me from going through. But beloved, the anointing that was on the world worketh in my body and makes God's word to become a reality. God's word was made manifest. So we have fled for refuge to lay hold on the hope that is in the word of God. So we have to do it. And that hope is an anchor of our soul, both sure and steadfast, and which entereth into that within the veil. Because the hope is gained as we know the oath was made. The promise was backed up by sacrifice that Christ made and the covenant that is shed for you and I by his blood. So when we are talking about God's word, I don't know, but tonight you are free from wavering. I declare your freedom from doubt. I command your freedom from every instability. I command your freedom from everything that makes you waver. I decree and declare doubt is over now in the name of Jesus. For two immutable things, he made an oath unto Abraham. He made a covenant with you and I by the blood of the Lamb of God. Hebrews 12:24. He shows unto us that he did it for Abraham just based on pledge, just based on promise. For two unchangeable things, our God cannot lie. But it takes me abiding in him to know the word. It takes a daily dwelling in him to take a hold of God's word. So the hope that we have, that is the stability that holds us together, it is what made us to stay on and to be loved. It safeguards our hearts from being confused, from the mind running riot. So we can say, I know that my Redeemer liveth. 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 The love that is why David will say he knew that there was a covenant made him by God. He spoke unto me, so why are you distressed? Why are you disquieted within me? Why are you troubled within me? Why are you agitated? Put your trust in covenant. Put your trust in the word. Put your trust in the spoken, decreed word of God. He said that which was spoken was backed up with a covenant that cannot be broken. It doesn't matter what my foundation is. It really matters less. What I feel, God has spoken, healing anointing over the nations. I made you an answer to every problem of man. I give you a solution to solve every riddle and to address everything that confronts man. I place it upon you, so I have it. A man can have nothing except as it has been given to him by God. I have given unto you the keys of the kingdom. That which you allow on earth is allowed. That which you disallow on earth is allowed, because what I allowed on earth is what heaven had already allowed. Therefore, I must keep in view what heaven is doing so that earth can respond likewise. Beloved, we saw the oath, we saw the covenants, and they become to you and I an anchor for our soul. Anchor for the soul. Because that is the feel sorry, pity party area of our life. That is the part that runs riot. But this safeguards us from allowing that mind to begin to look at options. That can prolong the journey. Beloved, it safeguards our hearts. Beloved, he said, it gives us the assurance. It gives us a sure word, because it is a true word of God. We saw the certainty of the word of God. Beloved, we saw that God confirmed his word. So it doesn't matter. That sister said, the word that you spoke that first time, I took it. I remember that lady giving a testimony when she said, Pastor, pray for me. I have an interview. I just said, congratulations. And she was initially wondering, stop praying. She said, congratulations. And God honored that word and did it. Beloved, the way of wisdom for increasing and multiplying and being fruitful for Abraham was getting the word and doing something about the word. He obeyed the word. So if it is a steadfast, assured word of God, completely consistent, unalterable, beloved soul, God's word will become so sure to you and to me, because when God is still talking about the BBOs, which is the steadfastness of his law, of his word, is talking about the stability of that word in any unstable situation. God's word can be believed. It's talking about the firmness of that word of God. It's talking about the force of life that backs up God's word. It's talking about what God's word stands for. It's a more sure word. And it was a more sure word of prophecy. A more sure word. 2 Peter 1:19. It said, we also have a more sure word of prophecy, whereunto ye do well that take heed of that word, as unto a light that shineth in a dark place. greatly increase. What is not enough today shall be more than enough for me tomorrow. He said, I am acceptable in the beloved. So when I'm rejected, I ought to know that I am acceptable in the beloved. In the place where they rejected me, they are yet coming to begin to beg me for favor. When I take heed of the sure word of God, when I take heed of this word of God, this word of prophecy, it said it is going to be to me a reality because it is going to be like light that shineth in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arises in your heart. It's talking about the blossomness of the individual life when the promise becomes a reality. Therefore, I decree and declare upon us that the grace to take a hold of God's word that causes the light of God to shine in every dark places of our lives, I decree that that grace be released upon the prevailers around the world today, the men and women of God that will prevail by the word of the Lord. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, a light shine in a dark place until the day dawn. That is until you see the dawning of a new day, until the day dawn, until the day dawn, until the day dawn, and the star arises in your eye until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart, knowing this first that no prophecy of the scripture is of any private interpretation, for the prophecy came not in all time by the will of man, but only men of God spoke as they were moved by the Holy Ghost. So the performer of the word that was spoken is the Holy Ghost. And I understand it can do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ever think or imagine. And when it performs to perfection. So Ephesians chapter 3 verse 20 is followed by Philippians chapter 1 verse 6. When God is at work because he has sworn. So we saw the place of wisdom that was evident through works, that they marvel at the wisdom of Jesus because of the mighty works that he was doing. God backing him up as he did unto Jacob, unto Isaac in Genesis 26, and made his word good. As we saw, Abraham had a covenant with God, or God had a covenant with Abraham, and he had, beloved, he did all of that just to show you and I a pattern that his word will stand sure and that God will make good his word. Therefore, this morning, 20 minutes, you and I were going to go to God. You can walk through your house, you can do anything as long as you get out of bed. I saw fruitfulness is not difficult for God to do. It is so that I locate the place of wisdom and be fruitful. Wisdom says, I have been given a guaranteed word of God that can right now, he who is coming shall come. It shall come quickly. It will not delay. But there must be an expectation of his coming. He who has promised you will do what he has promised. But I must be able to be patient, patiently endure the attributes and the characters of wisdom. Continued in faith, continue to hold on to the word of God until there is a change. Beloved, Job said, all the days of my life will I wait until my change comes. All the day of my life, all the day of my life, will I wait until my change comes. Hebrews 10:37, for yet a little while and the coming one will come and will not delay. He who is coming will come. He who promised, it will come. He who is coming will come. It will not delay. Bequaza, Alike Kwashite. Habakkuk chapter 2 verse 3 said, though it tarries. He said, I will wait and see what he has to say to me. He said, though it tarries, though it takes longer than what you have thought it will take. He said, don't quit on God. Don't give up on God. Don't stray away from God. Stay with the one. Stay with the one who has promised. He said, abide in me, let my words abide in you. Lord, I ask for great grace, grace to remain, grace to trust, grace to hold on, grace to be patient, grace to be persistent, grace to be consistent, grace to continue in your words, and let your words abide in me. Lekwaza atuata lebre negazo. Ike kwashita liku kukuzozia. Ila proneka kwazo. Ike kwashite ila bakukukuzozie. Endege kwazo ondo golibruzo ode. Ila proneka kwashite. Ila proneka kwazasia. Ila bagosiate. Do itari. Though it was delayed, though it lingered, though it looks as if it's staying longer than I expect, I must stay on. Illa kukuso opiatwa, illa grekutu uzosie, izopronde, illa kustose, ike kustosila pentru nanosia. Lord, the grace to wait. The grace to wait. Lord, the grace to lay hold of the promise without wavering. The grace to be persistently trusted. The grace to act upon your word. The grace to apply myself to the word of God. Lord, release this grace of wisdom upon my life now. Illa prindo dusto, si illa mengri da quasasia. Do it tarries. I will wait for it. Beloved, indeed, it tarries, Anna. You have to have waited. Beloved, you have waited in the toll. Therefore, he who promised you, he will yet perform every word that he has promised. He cannot fail. Ilopi atuazosi ilamangruza ato. He said, wait for it because it will surely come. Though it tarries, though it tarries, though it tarries, wait for it. Though it tarries, wait for it. Le kwaza zila paku kuzozia. Ike kwazo ondenge kwaza zia. Lord, great grace to wait on your word. Great grace to trust in your word. Great grace to locate your word. grace to wait and not give up. The grace to press and not be broken. The grace to continue and not withhold my hand. The grace to stand upon the integrity of your word, knowing fully well that greater is you. You that has promised you will do it. And the grace to locate the divine revelation of the word of the living God in Lope, and to stand by the truth of your word. Lord, I receive great grace, great anointing to operate in wisdom, that apply your word into my circumstances. Apply your word, even as this church is being raised. Apply your word in every circumstance. I press in until I have the manifestation of what you have spoken to me. In La Pronega Quasancia, you have placed upon my life the healing anointed for the nation. What has God placed in your life? For you are the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. You are the royal priesthood. We are the holy nation. We are the peculiar people. Lord Joseph waited upon you in the face of challenges. He never doubted the word. Therefore, you made him a solution center, even for the economic crisis in his days. Lord, you caused him to be able to come up with a solution for every anomaly in the economy of the nation. You raise upon him the grace, Lord, to see the solution and to see answers. Lord, quata le prinonongosiate illa bakrosiate le kuagagashate. Wait for it, because it will surely come and it will not tarry. It will surely come. It will not delay. It will not be deferred, because it is based on covenant. It cannot be annulled. Lord, I wait for the word spiritually, for the word physically, for the word even mentally, for the word even that you have given to me biologically. I wait on your word, that your word will work its ways into my life in Locros Yato, bringing me into supernatural increase, divine fruitfulness without fail. O Lama Kustosia, in Lekre Kukugusa Ato, concerning Prevalence Church Network in England, concerning all the pertains to the prevalence, concerning health situations, concerning even everything that pertains to those that you have called to work alongside me in this ministry, concerning those that hear the voice of God through my mouth. Lord, the grace to apply ourselves to the word of God by operating in divine wisdom that works. Le quaso oprinanaga kukuzosie il le pretua acloste in thrustula. As Luprunongeste, Ile Protua, in Trunega Custo, Zipacato, Alongrasi Ate, in the Goliprus Ate, that Zion will be built as on the highest of the mountain, all the nations, because you place upon my life the healing anointing for the nations. So the nations must look at Zion in order for the nations to be healed. Therefore, Zion must be visible. Therefore, Zion must be attracted in favor. Therefore, Zion must have the wisdom for winning, the wisdom for releasing the captive, the wisdom that heals the sick, the wisdom that raises the dead, the wisdom of God's word that liberates the oppressor, that let the captives go free. I will wait on you, O God. In La Prosi, Ike Kwaza Zia, De Kwaza, Atua La Bongusa Ate. He has placed upon my life the healing anointed for the nations. Therefore, the nations are located in Zion. I do
life, in your marriage, in your ministry. This morning, it is now yours, for a man can have nothing except what has been given to him by God. If I were you, you would take hold of the rema. You would take hold of the rema now. It moves from the place of being a promise to a place of seeing it performed. As far as you can see, that promise for fruitfulness unto the nations come, because the promise of fruitfulness is about the nations. Though it tarries, it shall surely come to pass. Wait for it. Stand on the word. Abide in the word. Take all of the word. Lord, the ability to take hold of the word, the ability to be strong in the Lord and in his word, the ability to do due diligence on the word, the ability to meditate on the word, the ability to see the promise in its reality, the grace to be continued in the word of God. Lord, I receive it for this commission. I receive it for its members, for our members, in the name of the Lord Jesus. Beloved, you don't need anybody to make you wait. You are the one that have the promise. And therefore, what you need is God. Who you need is God. So you cannot be angry that other people don't understand your vision, because they don't have your promise. So it is the one that has the promise that has the vision that the onus lies on that person to be able to wait. Many times, you're looking for somebody to wait with you. But it takes those who are envisioning your vision to wait with you and to walk with you and to see that what God has said becomes a reality. But whether it is through one or many, God will still do the unimaginable and the unexpected. Today, yesterday, we had a second service in Prevalence Church Network, London. As I was looking forward to that service, I said to the Lord, he gave me Mark chapter 3, verse 14. And we saw that Jesus did not, when he started with the crowd, he only selected the 12. And I said to the Lord, give me today 12 people this week as a proof that you are the one that sent me. Jesus started with 12. He ordained 12 that they should be with him and that he might send them forth to preach. Give me 12 people that can be trained up today, that can be equipped, that can gain the spiritual strength, the spiritual power. I'm not the crowd. There are crowds.
But when God affected these 12, they will affect the world, because the 12 will give back to another 12, and then another 12, 24 begins to give back to another 24. Then we have 48 battling another 48, 96. And we see a replication of effects on a continuous basis. The generation of believers, imagine the people that will change the world, that will turn things around. And God made his word good. I said, how many people are we today? They said 12. I said, that is the answer for me. Though it tarries. I thought I was appealing to people. I said, please, two people, I said, I need you to stay with me just for us to settle. Maybe for 2 or 3 weeks, because I don't doubt what God has said to me. Like, I never doubted. But I thought that I can have relief. I didn't know that I need to be tested. If I'm looking for relief now, how can I gain? He said, if I fail in the day of adversity, my strength is small. If I cannot pass now, how can I go to the next level where God is going to add other things and other people, even to the ministry? So he needs to find me faithful. He needs to see that I passed the first test. Precious people, but yet they could not do what I requested for. So does that mean that we cannot move forward? No. God spoke to Gideon. He said, I can do with one what I could have done with many others. God accomplishes purpose. So you need, as you are divinely envisioned to do the vision that God has given to you, to stay on course, whether you are celebrated or not, whether you are despised, whether the people mock you. Noah stayed on course 120 years. How on earth can you do the same job for 120 years? And beloved, it was building that canoe, that boat, that lifeboat for 120 years. We need to go to where these people have been, that they are comfortable, they continue the work. Even when others are laughing at them, when their friends were persuading them that don't you think that there must be a better life, a better option, they stayed glued, they stayed continued to do what God has given them to do. I need the grace of God to continue. It said, abide in me and let my word continue in you. Abide in me. Continue in me and let my words continue in you. So continuity is commanded, is ordered, is instructed by God. So grace is available for us to know how to continue. My Father, the grace for continuity in your word, the grace for continuity in you, I receive this morning. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, let cross a pump through the Nanga Ziato, is the plong resi ike quashta ze, lipruta gaku gutondo lipruna Nanga Ziate, in lebretua apruta gazo, ike kushto zila mengri da quasa zia, in le crosso, zoprende ke quazo. Is the prondica custosie in la croste zila peprinanosa? Is the prondega quashete in la cacustosia no prendega quase? Is the proto custosia le prendegazo? Is the prote ella cacustosia in la custosia le prendega quasosie? In la crosi ica quashete, in la cacustosia, is the zoprondege quaso, is the zoprondege quashete, in la pronega quasa zia lo prondege quaso, in la cacuto, ontronega ziate, is the prondege custosia, in la pri Elaka custosia, elaka custose pentru nonogesate, izualo prode, ikrostosia la pio, intru naga kukuguzosie, izozopruna nagla kukugustosie, elabrende kuagosiata, elebrede custose lebe crudo boste negraziato, inge quashete, izopronde ke quashta, ileplengo. Suso pronde geza, izo prina gaza teli pruno nongle kuguzosie, izo prodo kustosia la prende ge kwazosie, izo zua la prende ge kwazosia, iga kwashete, until, beloved, until we stick to the word, we don't know the power of his presence that produced the result of fruitfulness, multiplication, and brings us into this presence. So we are said to the Lord, help me to wait until I know your backing that produces the result of fruitfulness in my life. As I wait upon you, let my strength be renewed, Lord, to stay on course, to remain focused, to fix my heart on the spoken word of God and what the words of wisdom. Le kwazosi ela prondega suato inge kustosate. In the name of Jesus. Beloved, you want to begin to give God thanks this morning in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. When God begins to speak about fruitfulness, the wisdom that maketh fruitful. Fruitfulness based on divine wisdom is telling us that godly wisdom maketh fruitful. And you want to be thankful because there are many people that needed to hear this. They are not here, but you are here by divine arrangement. Provided you are not snoring on your bed, you want to give God thanks for the wisdom of God that maketh fruitful, that is manifested in us, for us, and on our behalf by the words of the living God that produces life, and that is spirit that has the power to perform what God has spoken. Therefore, Lord, we appreciate you this morning. Our God, we honor you, we decree and declare that every word of God that we have heard is taken hold by our spirit mind. We submit and subject ourselves to the authority of God's word. And therefore, God's word begins to work in us. And as we apply the godly wisdom that maketh fruitful, I decree and declare that everyone under the sound of my voice this morning becomes an agent of change, even in our world, in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. We thank you, our Father, in the name of Jesus. Therefore, as we lay down to sleep tonight, as they shall be sweet, we will lay down and sleep, and none shall make us afraid. My Father, I thank you for Mr. Aturu, that you have divinely intervened for, and that you have made whole. Thank you that which you have done is permanent in the name of Jesus. For whatsoever the Lord doeth abideth forever. The grass withers, but the flowers fail, but the word of the Lord abideth forever. Lord, thank you because we are confident that you that has spoken, you are a perfecter of every word that you have spoken. Thank you for the proofs of the word that you have spoken by covenant and by an oath that was evident for his healing, for his deliverance, from his rescue from the jaw of death, and for his change of story. Therefore, for as many as are sick, Sister Ebiemi Abiodu, I speak into the life of everyone that is sick, Sheyi and Sheinde. I speak into every life of those who are sick. I speak unto you, Denise. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, I decree and declare that your healing is total, that the healing anointing of God over my life
begins to find expression for your recovery, for your restoration, for your wellness, and for your wholeness. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we pray. Now unto you, the King Eternal, the King Immortal, the only wise God, the performer of his word, the one that executes what he has promised. Unto you I return the glory, unto you I return the honor for what you have done for us today. Thank you for the Prevailers Church Network who had our second service yesterday. Lord, thank you for making your word good, even as I've desired. Therefore, we thank you that though our beginning be small, our later end shall greatly increase. Therefore, we are moving forward in all places and according to the divine order of God. There is no regression. There is no backward movement. I decree that every soul that you have added to us in the church today are soaked with the precious blood of Jesus, both the adults and the children. And I decree and declare that from today, they are released to be the difference that their world is waiting for. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus, as they operate in wisdom that make it fruitful. Lord, we thank you, for we have prayed in Jesus' name. Amen. 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 So shall it be. In the mighty name of the Lord Jesus Christ, we have prayed. Amen. Hallelujah. Blessed be the name of the Lord. In Jesus' name, we pray. Amen. Beloved, I celebrate you and I congratulate you this morning, even as God has brought you into his presence. What the Lord has done for you and I, it is permanent in the mighty name of the Lord Jesus. Therefore, I look forward until we come back again, 5 a.m. in the morning. You're only going to sleep for 2 hours, but the 2 hours is going to be as if you're sleeping for 10 hours. And beloved, you'll be refreshed, renewed, re-energized to come back and press between the altar and the couch and the pouch, even as we come into the beginning of a new week this Monday, in Jesus' name. The week of fruitfulness once again, without fail. Bye-bye.